If her excellent Cabernet Sauvignon doesn't melt your heart, her accent will. Suzanne Pfeiffer-Pavitt hails from the South, but nowadays makes her home in Napa Valley, and in fact last November opened her brand new tasting room on Silverado Trail, dedicated to her date night Cabernet. This tasting room is one of a kind in Napa Valley, and without a doubt is a must-see. Located just short of the town of Calistoga, it's worth noting that tastings are by appointment. The interview started with the pour, and likely is the first time we experienced both Napa and Southern hospitality. That was a nice pour, too. Very good.
Thank you.
Well, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for being here. We're here with Suzanne Pfeiffer-Pavitt.
But in case I'm feeling a little more French, we can be Pavitt, but it's Pavitt.
I'm happy enough just to get Suzanne out. And we're at her brand spanking new winery that officially opened?
Officially opened yesterday, November the 1st. And we had our christening and grand opening on Saturday the 30th. So, cheers.
Cheers. And break a leg.
Break a leg, exactly. Yeah. We are sampling the 2007 Pfeiffer-Pavitt Date Night Cabernet Sauvignon. 97% Cabernet Sauvignon, 3% Petit Verdot.
It's very nice. Mm. It's my kind of cab. Mm.
Very traditional style, Napa Valley Cabernet. Fruit forward. Of course, I'm completely objective, but fruit forward, very nice and approachable on the palate. And what I like to say is it doesn't hit me front, mid, or back palate. It really envelops my palate, just a nice, soft, velvety coating. And again, I am completely objective with my assessment.
And we're making note of that, too. We don't know you. We've never met you. It is very silky and just got a tremendous finish to it. I'm kind of enjoying it here, and I haven't. Mm. It's been a minute or so. So yes. That's great. Nice job. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. We are having a ton of fun with it. It has been a very long and adventurous path that we decided to take. We both, basically, my husband Shane and I, were lovers of wine. We don't have a background in winemaking. We don't have a background in growing grapes. We have a background in loving wine and great food and the experiences that come with that. And so Pfeiffer-Pavitt Date Night Cabernet is really an ode to passion, to having dreams, to not saying I can't or you can't or don't try that. It was, what if we could have a small boutique winery and make a fabulous wine that would not only support the habit of us and our family and friends, but perhaps to the greater public at large. And the idea was born on one of our romantic date nights or date weeks off to Italy. And we came home just full of enthusiasm and said, let's do it. What do we need to do to make this happen? And we hired a winemaker, Ted Osborne, also lives here in Calistoga, and makes wine for quite a few people, has made wine for quite a few people. And we loved his style of winemaking, which was a very hands-off, Bordeaux-esque style, and that is do everything you need to do out in the vineyard and then kind of stand back and let the wine speak for itself. And to do that requires you to have a phenomenal partner as a grower. We don't yet have grapes growing here on our property. We buy our fruit from Arthur Spencer, and Arthur is the quintessential farmer that you want to have as a partner. He's completely in tune with Mother Nature and the fauna and flora that's needed in the vineyard. Arthur organically farms, which is something that we were really keen on. And, you know, they release beneficial ladybugs in the spring, and there's nematodes there and owl boxes and all of those wonderful things that Mother Nature intended to be. As a result of that organic farming in this pristine vineyard, we are able to do a wild yeast fermentation, which is naturally resident there in the vineyard. And that's the way farming has been done. I mean, winemaking, in my opinion, is just sexy farming. I mean, it's, you're still farming, you're still dependent upon Mother Nature and all those things. So from Arthur's perspective and from that of the Pfeiffer Pavitt team, we basically put the majority of our efforts into that portion of it and understanding the land and working with it, and then just kind of coaching or cajoling along the wine once it gets into the bottle.
Cajoling is a good word. I like that.
You like cajoling?
So we're done. So thanks. Have a good day. That was a great answer. That was a perfect answer.
Is that good?
But we're not done.
Okay.
I'm not letting you off the hook that easy. It sounds like the way you're talking that you will eventually have your own vines here. Is that the idea?
Yes. We, here in the Napa Valley, it is an arduous process, if you will, and rightly so. This, you drive up the valley here, and as far as the eye can see, it's just vineyards and beautiful greenery. And in order to plant vines, you need to work within that. And so we went through the necessary requirements, endangered plant studies and sound studies and all kinds of things that would ensure that we were good stewards of the land and that would be doing the right thing. And so we do have the permit for planting. We hope to be planting Cabernet Sauvignon, perhaps a little Petit Verdot as well, here on our property. And the long-range plan is that would just help us expand a little bit beyond the 500 cases that we currently make. We absolutely love the fruit that we have, and this was our sixth harvest with Arthur. We have no plans of changing that. It has been a really great partnership with him and a great experience, and of course, we love the wine. Hopefully those of you listening, go out and try it, will love it too. Now that we have the tasting room open for a whole whopping 2 days, the next phase will be to outfit for winery operations. So we will bring the 2011 harvest into the Pfeiffer Pavitt Winery here on site. So this beautiful tasting room that Ray is getting to see right now will be transformed slightly to also incorporate operations. So that will be phase two, is to take the operations. And then phase three will be to plant the vines here on the property and have an estate Cabernet as well, in addition to what we have.
So you really have your ducks in a row here. I mean, you've got a lot of planning to do. You were telling me, though, about this structure, that this was an old barn, and I'll have pictures of this on the site for our listeners to see. It's a really extraordinary-looking building from the outside and completely different when you walk in. So tell me about that again, how you put it together.
Well, I think it's funny when people drive up, especially my daddy, who's, you know, I hail from Northwest Georgia, and my dad just could not understand why we weren't actually moving into this to live in it, because he said, that's not really a barn. But this is the Napa Valley style of a barn. And we were fortunate enough, a friend of ours let us know that someone not too far from here, up on Friends Valley School Road, a few miles away, had an old 100-year-old or so redwood barn, was painted butter yellow, and the woman who owned the barn really didn't want it anymore. And the offer was made, if we came and tore it down, disassembled it, we could have all the wood. And we saw some promise in that old barn. It was also what we had envisioned and dreamt about having here for our future facility. So we tore down the barn there, brought it all here, and remilled the wood. On the outside front right, as you come in, we did keep one little small section that's painted that butter yellow, just to remind us where it came from.
I didn't see that when it came in. I'll have to look for
that.
Yeah,
you'll have to look at that. We have a lot of people who stop by and just say, God, what is that made out of? What's the material you use? Like, it's just old redwood. You can't achieve old redwood in a faux. It just is.
It's got to happen.
It's just another amazing feat Mother Nature can, if you work with it. So the outside is, you know, definitely it's a two-story barn, a gabled roof with board and batten facade around it, all out of redwood as well. And I loved that old barn feel. And I really, in dreaming this up, I wanted to try and use a lot of materials that were just naturally present. This is a small facility. It's a passion. It's a family business. So I thought in my dreaming and designing for it that it would be really interesting to take all those materials that basically might otherwise have different uses. So work with what we had. We have a concrete floor in the winery for cleanliness and washing out. So I thought it would be really interesting to try and recreate that concrete appearance on the ceiling so it felt like this one continuous piece. Another obvious thing was to take, obvious to me anyway, was to take the tin roof that we used on the roofing and also bring it inside and put it on the walls. So as you'll see, or as your listeners will see from the photos, the tin around is also representative of the roof outside. The big, of course, barn doors that slide using copper on the outside. On the inside, we painted them with chalkboard paint and have these really interesting chalk drawings of the cowgirl from our bottle, our Verona Society, just some playfulness to it. So adding all of those different elements, concrete, the metals, the woods, kind of industrial meets vintage chic.
And she's very cute too, I might add. It's funny too, because as I turn around and look at her, I can see her right over your shoulder. And then there's these lights above us.
Yes.
I've never seen anything ever, yes, ever like them.
Okay, so again, this is reusing materials. So when we started this process, there was some old hog wire fencing wire laying around on the property. And somewhere along the line, I thought that it would be a really groovy idea to use those somehow, and solicited a couple of friends' help to kind of figure out what we could do. And it all came together. We basically rolled up this hog wire, fencing wire, wrapped it around, secured it, and we have some old filament bulbs hanging on electric cord. And it just gives you kind of a really, I mean, you look at them and you're like, that's just old wire, but it fits with the metals and the concrete and all the pieces.
It's very cool, but the thing is, I would have walked in and thought this is something you had commissioned. I would have never dreamed you did it yourself, for God's sake.
No, it was, in fact, just 2 weeks ago, maybe even not that long ago, there I had one, but it wasn't quite big enough, and we were trying to get ready, and I said to my husband, will you go out there, just grab that big bale of wire, and just roll it up and make me a couple of additional lights. And so he had a hand in pulling the last two together, and that's what you get.
Well, my compliments for two reasons. One is it's a totally unique winery, and it's very chic and yet very simple.
Yes.
But more importantly, I like the fact that you're driving home the whole organic thing, reusing things, not just throwing things away. That's pretty impressive. And you obviously didn't take an easy way out by doing that.
No. And, you know, a lot of the things, if you look around, I mean, the half barrels as tabletops is kind of an obvious, but it works in this space. It's something that we had. You know, what kind of seating do you put in the tasting room when you know that ultimately this is going to be an operational facility as well? We had hay bales here because we just finished doing our erosion control, which needs to be done in October. And I said, why don't we just make some benches? And then I went down to the local coffee shop and said, do you guys have any extra coffee bags? So we reused all the burlap coffee bags and strapped those down. And then went out and cut branches from manzanita trees, put them in a couple of existing barrels we had. So pulling it all together, it's just, I hate to overuse the word because it's, you know, so popular right now, but the barn just kind of came together organically with the pieces. So,
but it's inventive what you've done. That's even the barrel, and again, people just have to see the picture of the barrel with what kind of tree is that?
Manzanita.
I would have thought that was actually just a plant that you had planted in there. It's very unique. So I think you did a good job in it because it is unique. And isn't that what Napa's all about?
That is absolutely what Napa's all about. And we certainly, you know, as this was all coming together, had some brilliant minds in here helping pull this all together at the last minute. As much planning as you do, it's trying to get it all together. But we like it. You know, on the end here, our little artistic pieces, big, you know, architectural style pieces, they're just barbed wire rolled into a ball and the rest of the wire. So it's funky and chic and vintage and all the pieces that are up on the bookcase. In fact, this old radio was my great uncle's. I don't know why I still have it. I do. It's finally found a home there on the shelf amongst the other vintage pieces, and the bottles just in the old milk cartons, milk crate type rack.
Nothing like having a bunch of dead soldiers laying around.
Isn't it fun? I like it. The other thing that really came to me in kind of going this route was we're the new kids on the block. I mean, this, you're drinking the 2007, and this is our third vintage. We've just released it. This was our release party as well. And we're brand new, but this wine evokes that old kind of, it's been around, savor it, slow down, savor all those pieces. And so just all of the package, all of the elements kind of came together. The old meets the new. It doesn't taste sparkly and fresh. It tastes like a Cabernet should. It tastes, you know, it has that barn feel to it. It has that vintage feel. And then, you know, to help with all of that, we have a vintage cowgirl in the front of the label. So it all kind of works together nicely.
Does she have a name?
She doesn't have a name, no. Oh,
she has to have a name.
She has to have a name. Well, she was born out of the idea that when we started this, we were trying to come up with something incredibly inventive, some creative name, and we tried several things, and the trademark process became just... It just went on and on and said, well, we need something that represents a serious bottle of Napa Valley Cabernet, but we're not super serious people. It needs to have a little levity, a little playfulness, a little fun. And we, you know, the name of the wine is Date Night. So you know, Pfeiffer Babbitt Date Night's got to have a little playfulness to it. And then it came to me, this idea with this vintage cowgirl. And, you know, I've said before, the women of that era were so strong, they were able to handle it all, run the ranch, you know, raise the children, you know, bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. And they did all of those pieces, yet they weren't afraid to be a woman and soft and velvety and approachable around the edges. So I felt like that encapsulated what we were trying to say with this bottle of wine. So the vintage cowgirl has a prominent position on the front of the label.
It's a great metaphor.
Thank you.
One thing that really drew me to wanting to do a full-length interview with you when I met you at the auction was the simple fact, and you started off the interview by saying, you never made wine before, you never did this before.
Right.
I admire your guts. So tell me, how did that all start?
Well, you know, when we started chatting today, I just basically said, we did not have a background in winemaking or growing grapes. We had a background in enjoying wine. And, you know, I've been asked this question, you know, numerous times now, and my answer is so simple that it almost sounds like a non-answer, but I just didn't know any better. I mean, when I was a little girl, my mom would always say, you know, if you want to be the president of the United States or you want to be an astronaut, go for it. So whether that was a deep-seated thought or not, I'm not flying to the moon, but in my little world here, you know, it's the next, it's a pretty similar experience. And that is, we dreamt it up, had the passion for it, thought of this idea and said, what if we could do anything, what would we do? And it was 10 years ago that we said, if we could do anything and live anywhere, we'd have a little boutique winery, make wine, and live in the wine country. I mean, it would be the ultimate. And now here we are. 10 years later, and I think that it is definitely a testament and encouragement to people. You just got to go for it. You got to just go for it. If you believe in it, then others will believe in it. And if you've got the passion behind it, then hopefully you too will be standing behind your tasting room bar, speaking with someone who has a fabulous radio program, you know, wine radio program. So.
The best part of this, and I've said this before to a number of people, to watch your face when you talk about it, it's such, you're so sincerely tickled.
Yes.
That's the word. You've got this, you're in it, you're touching it. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
You're even blushing a little right now, too.
I probably am. Well, this is my first time speaking to anyone from inside the tasting room. This is it.
Brand and I'm very excited that we're the first ones to do this with you. So.
You are the first ones, and it's... It, like I said, it just seems like there's just so many firsts. It's the first time to open it. It's the first time to pour wine. It's the first, I mean, for me, every time I pour with someone, it's like it's the first time because you look at their face and you're reacting and responding to their experience. And, you know, sometimes people are just so enamored with the dream that you would just dive out there in this abyss of unknown. And other people want to talk about the science of it. And other people want to talk about the farming. And winemaking is just, it's so complex. It's art, it's science, it's just all of those pieces. So it's very exciting, and I am tickled. I mean, I'm tickled to be the proprietor. I'm tickled to have such an amazing team of people that I surround myself with. I'm tickled to meet so many different people from so many different walks all over the world that come around. And it's an adventure that looks like it's just going to keep being an adventure. So I think we should all wish for that sort of experience.
I think that's fantastic. Do you see getting into whites or anything different wine-wise as you go?
Well, that is the most popular question of late is, wow, you don't make enough wine, and when are you going to make a white? And my philosophy and that of my husband and I was, let's do one thing and do it really well. And so Cabernet, Calistoga, and Napa Valley, I mean, Cab is king. So, you know, that was the obvious choice. But now as we are honored to participate in vintner dinners and do some other things, people want to start with a white. They want a little palate cleanser. They want to ease into it, shall we say. And, you know, certainly I think that holds true for women of particular note. So the next phase is to explore that. I think that we want to keep our focus. And my job here is to do everything except grow the grapes and make the wine. So I need to balance that with my other full-time job, and that is a mom of two little boys. And so for us, we need to make sure that that stays in balance, and to the extent that we can make a little bit of a white varietal yet to be determined, I think we may look into that for the particular focus of dinners and entertaining and those sort of things. But the Date Night Cabernet will remain our flagship for now, to be continued. See.
So for our listeners, if they want to buy your wine, how would they go about that?
Well, the most direct way to do that is to go to our website, and that's www.pfeifferpavittwines.com. And if that is just too much for you to bear, you can do. You can also go to www.datenightwine.com. And if you can't remember that, you can Google Date Night, and we will pop up. We are still exploring, expanding around the country. And so if we're not in your neighborhood, then you should suggest to your favorite restaurateur to give us a call. That's really basically how it's going right now, is that we have a mailing list, and you can go to our website and sign up for our mailing list and get on the mailing list, and you can get the wine, or in a few select places. Like, I hail from, as I said, Northwest Georgia. So right over the border is Tennessee. So you can find wine in Tennessee if you're around there at a few different places. And we hope to expand slowly with our production across the country. So we'll see how it goes, see how the listeners respond.
Well, hopefully they will. So what's the story behind Date Night?
Well, the short answer to that is that my husband and I, ever since we met and throughout our courtship, we were both busy in the corporate work, corporate lifestyle, traveling. And he said, you know, we've got to meet, connect. So we would meet once a week somewhere on our date night. Fast forward into trying to pursue our dream here and thinking about getting into the wine world, we would have our weekly date night, and Shane said one night, you know, we should just call the darn thing date night because it's all we ever talk about anymore. And that somewhat stuck. Pfeiffer is my maiden name. Pavitt is my married name. So Pfeiffer Pavitt Date Night was born on our date night. And if you want to hear and read all about the in-depth story, as of tomorrow, there will be a full-length video telling the entire story of Date Night on our website. So stay tuned.
All right. That's terrific. Suzanne, thanks very much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And I'm very honored to be the first person in here drinking wine with you.
Delighted to have you. Come again.
I hope to.
Thank you.
You can find Date Night Wine on the web at pfeifferpavittwine.com.